is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Paul is saying, you know, look, I can't say to you,
it's a sin to watch this show.
But he's saying, it doesn't help me. It takes time for me. And I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to be brought under. I'm not going to say, I have to watch this. I'm not going to be brought under any of these things. So there's a higher law at work. Yes, I can't say, that's a sin. But he's saying it's not helpful. And as you grow in the Lord, you begin to not just say, well, is it wrong? You begin to say, is it helpful? You say, no, it's not. And you begin to grow. You begin to mature. And that's the maturing process.
In today's message, Pastor Troy reminds us to examine our time, talent, and treasure to make sure we're giving the Lord the first fruits of our blessings. He encourages us to live simply, to give of ourselves, and to live each day with a heavenly focus. We can make a change today by putting God first in everything we do. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with today's study.
What gets the first fruits of your time? You got to think. What is it that you're always moving towards? I want to get rid of everything else so I can do this. Or what is it that if you don't have time for everything else, you're going to get this in? What is it that gets the first fruits? You want to make sure time goes to this. Does it revolve around the Lord? Serving Him? I don't mean, yeah, I get together with the guys or get together with the girls and we just hang out in the Lord. I mean, devoted to Him. What do you want, Lord? Do you give your time to Him? How about your talent? The abilities that He's blessed you with. It can make you money. It can cause people to admire you. You know, this is something that, man, God has given you. And God could be glorified in it. But you use it for your own personal satisfaction. It's okay that you can play music and you go out and you like to play music for the family or do things out in the world, but does God get the first fruits of that talent, those abilities? And then what about your treasure, your resources, finances, those things that God gives you? You say, well, I earned it, but God can say, you only have the ability to earn because I have given you skills. I could take away anything. I could take away your arms and legs and motion and function. I can take away your eyesight. So you are able to earn because I am the Lord. And so, the first fruits of all that, what do you do with it? What is it you make sure you're going to pay? Is it your house? You trust in your paycheck to pay for your house? Or do you trust the Lord? Is it a nest egg? Savings? I got to have the nest egg. I got to have the savings. I make sure if it's going to come between serving the Lord, giving to the Lord, or putting in my nest egg, the nest egg comes first. What is it? And if it's not the Lord first, the first fruits, then we may have less trust in God than we ought to. So your time, talent, and treasure, look at those things and find out what gets the first fruits of them. So it's a relationship with the Lord that we need. And these are ways that we express our relationship with him, how quality it is, whether there is really a sense of trust in him and putting him first. We see it in these types of expressions. But it says more than just love him first. The second is like it, he goes on to say, love your neighbor as yourself. So it doesn't just stop there. The Ten Commandments actually summarize this idea. The first four of those commandments deal with our relationship with God, and the last six of those Ten Commandments deal with our relationship with others. So we're to have a relationship with others based upon our relationship with God. Our relationship with him reflects in first our committedness to him, which we expressed in time, talent, treasure, what we offer to God, service, all of those things. Because it's not really about going into your closet going, you know me, Lord, and I know you, and I'm not doing anything you want, but we're talking now, we're talking. That's not the relationship. It's one of faith. And then we're to respond to others based upon our relationship with him. Our relationship with him affects our relationship with others. With that context for relationships, then, it's not loving towards someone else to ask them to lie for you. It's not loving. It's not godly. It's not good. It's not right. It's not loving to them to put them in that situation. On our Wednesday night study, we saw that David lied to the priests that he was on business for the king when he was on run from the king. Later on, the king finds out, because the priest had helped him out, the priest thought David was on business from the king. He didn't know any better. David lied to him. And the king, Saul, ends up killing the priest. So the priest got drug into it because David lied. So you're not helping anybody by lying to them or involving them in lies. That's not loving at all. It's not loving to say, I love this person here, when you're in a relationship inappropriately, or that's the relationship with them is inappropriate because either you're married or the relationship you have with them does not honor God. You don't love that person. That's a lie. You love yourself. You want something for you. If you love that person, you'd want God's best for them. If it's not you, then you want that too. You want God's best for them. And you want them pure, holy, able to stand before the Lord. And if you're in a relationship, you're married, and you're saying, no, I love this person, that's a lie too, because you're getting them involved in something they don't need to be involved in. Adultery and getting involved in someone's marriage. You're married. That's not loving towards someone else. And you hear it all the time. I fell out of love. Well, this relationship is not the same as it used to be. And this person I love. That's a lie. You don't love them at all. You hate them, in fact. You could care less about them because you don't care that you're dragging them into something that's going to cause trouble for their life. So that's not love. It's not loving toward them. But we call it love. It's how I feel. But that's not what love is. Love wants the best. Love cares for. Love is lifting up. Love is not boastful or proud. It's not about self. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. It's sacrificial. It's giving. It's not to get. And Jesus would have died if no one had, just to give the opportunity. But God, being all-knowing, knows that there will be some who respond. He knows who they are. We don't surprise him. He gave his one and only Son. Matthew 11:29 says this, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. See, Jesus instructs us to live simple lives, free of all of those troubles, free of all the complications, intertwined with trouble and mess and debt and all this stuff we get ourselves into. Live a simple life. Live a simple, humble life. You don't need all the stuff. You don't need all the mess. You don't need all the drama. I am so blessed. Even before I was following the Lord, I never had a lot of drama in my life. I lived a fairly simple life. I don't like drama. I loathe drama. Now, as a pastor, I'm in drama. I'm in drama. I'm drawn in. I'm running in and I'm in it. It's sometimes a whirlwind about me. But the nice thing is, even though I help out with drama, I'm never really in it. It's like being at the center of a storm, you know. It's calm. No, another wave's coming. But your life, your world, it's in order. And you got the Lord. It's you and Him. And though the storms come, and sometimes they come into your own life too, you don't control everything. You can't control really anything, but the storms come. Deaths, tragedies, words misspoken or misunderstood, all of that happens. But oh, how much simpler it is when you're not causing all the drama or allowing all the drama in because of the choices you make and the things you decide to do. A simple life is what God orders. Time. Lives with time. Time enough to put God first and not be in a rush. Lives with time enough to care about others so that you have time to help out. Lives that are not so entangled with worldliness, worldly affairs. You know, 2 Timothy 2:4 says, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." When we get involved in all of this other stuff, so that it consumes our time, our energies, our efforts, our resources, we don't have what we need to rest properly or to serve the Lord with what we have. Because it's entangled, it's tied up. He gave them a parable about the soils, if you remember that. There was the soil or the seed that fell by the wayside, said the birds came and snatched it up. Then there were some that fell on stony ground, and it really had no root so that it died when the sun beat on it, that the trials came and just kind of knocked that one away. But then he said that the other one fell on thick ground where there were thorns growing up. And said that one got choked out. It never was able to produce any fruit because it got choked out. And he said that was the one that was just the cares of this world, the concerns of the world, the things of the world just choked it out. They cared about other things out there, things that didn't really matter eternally. And those things just choked out any fruitfulness. Some lives are so caught up in meaningless things. We spend money on things that aren't essential. We think they are because everyone else has them, but they're not essential. And we get into debt as a result. We spend more than we have, or we spend everything we have. And we live what they call paycheck to paycheck. And there's things that we don't need. Not only do we have phones, our kids got phones. And then not only do I have a phone and my kids have a phone, but we need devices too. I mean, this has a bigger screen and it's the newer version, so this will play the games. And so we have all this stuff. And then, you know, I didn't need this connected to the phone line, but now I think I'm going to, because I got this great deal, it's a great deal, then I need to get this. And we just keep shoving money, shoving time, shoving energy into these things until we're overloaded. And real fruitfulness just can't come from our lives because now we owe, so off to work we go. So in debt. Some have time to do so much for the Lord, but we talked about that me time. they're on the internet, they're on the TV, and that's all it's about. You know, those things are great, but they can also influence you the wrong ways. I used to love TV. My family had TV time every night of the week. We could tell you what the show was for that evening that we watched as a family. Had to watch it. Had to watch it. Oh, but tonight they got this. And so you had to watch it. But here's what happened for me. I admired the actors. I admired the people. And I thought, I want to be one of those. And so I went on this course and I got involved in drama and acting. Now, I loved it. I enjoyed it. It was great. It didn't do anything for me eternally, but I enjoyed it. Had a good time. At one point, I had an agent. The only thing that was really holding me back was I was in the military. And if you decide to just not go into work one day for an audition, you go to jail. So that was one thing that held me back. And you can't just, when you get auditions, it's like, we need you in Santa Fe tomorrow morning. Wear this, act like this, do this. They're looking for this part. You don't just call in the military and go, can I miss tomorrow? I got to be a cowboy. Can I, you know? No, because you're in the military. We'll send you to jail if you don't come in tomorrow. So that was a disadvantage, but thank God for that, because I learned a lot in that business. It's ugly. Ugly. There's a lot of backbiting, corruption. I can understand why they say it is hard to be a Christian in that business, because I didn't even arrive. But I was into it enough that I've seen what it's all about. I've seen what it takes for many to make it. So watching TV caused me to admire actors, caused me to pursue certain things, and it took me a course. I'm saying everything we take in does influence us, and we need to be careful. Our time and energy on things that just entertain but don't help us can be dangerous. To the Corinthians, Paul wrote, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but I won't be brought under the power of any. Remember? Oh, I gotta watch it. We have to watch it this week. That's being brought under the power of something. We've got to be very careful. Paul is saying, you know, look, I can't say to you, it's a sin to watch this show. But he's saying, it doesn't help me. It takes time for me. And I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to be brought under. I'm not going to say, I have to watch this. I'm not going to be brought under any of these things. And so there's a higher law at work. Yes, I can't say, that's a sin. But he's saying it's not helpful. And as you grow in the Lord, you begin to not just say, well, is it wrong? You begin to say, is it helpful? You say, no, it's not. And you begin to grow and you begin to mature. And that's the maturing process. That's what happens as we get closer and closer to the Lord. What would it look like if you began to get rid of the things that choke out fruitfulness? That take your time, that take your treasure, that take your energy and your talents, that you give so much time, that maybe get the first fruits or the bulk of it. If you cut a lot of that out and you began to put the Lord first in everything, what would that look like? Things that aren't helpful to your desire and your commitment to Christ. What would that look like? Well, I'll tell you one thing. You would be different. People would take note. Now, you can't help your past and things that you've done in your past, but you can do it today. What would it look like if you began to do that today? It sounds radical, and it would probably catch the attention of people who know you, right? Whoa, you're thinking different. What's up with you? Why such drastic changes? But listen to what Matthew 5:16 says. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. See, everyone does humanitarian works. We should do those too. But it doesn't set us apart. Everyone does that. And yes, the Christians are often the first to go in, but really the Mormons and all these other churches and communities are going in too. So everyone sees a problem and rushes to meet a problem. So that's not reserved for Christians alone. But when you do something like this, why are you changed? There's nothing wrong with that. I know there's nothing wrong with that. It's just the Lord has convicted me. The Lord is burdening my heart. It's getting in the way. I need more time with the Lord, and this is stealing that time. And so I'm making the change. Then the only thing to acknowledge, the only one to acknowledge is God. And they'll either say, whoa, I need to get to where you are, if they're a believer. Or they'll say, hey, don't get too radical. And here's what they mean. Either they're not a believer, or they're comfortable living their own form of Christianity, and don't you start convicting me. I don't need that. And it'll happen. There'll be a separation. But your light will so shine before men that they will see your good deeds, and they will have to acknowledge God. You're being conformed into the image of Christ is not about making you a more moral person, so that you can just say, well, I'm good. We're a better person than we used to be. There's more to it than that. It's to help others see Christ in you. So it's not, what are you comfortable with? What do you feel is good? It goes beyond that, to others watching you. You know, for me, even a drink would be sin because God has convicted me of that. I don't preach it. You never hear me preaching about you can't have a drink at all. Drunkenness, clearly a sin. Motivation, are you trying to get a buzz? Then yes, that's sin. That's a wrong motive for it. To have your Italian dish, have a glass of wine, I cannot find in the scriptures that you can't do that. But I was offered at one time, and with good conscience, I could not take it. Though I could justify it. It's not sin. There's nothing wrong. They know this. They would never accuse me of this. But because of what God wants me to do and the light that he wants to shine in me, I don't condemn. I don't, no, I'm a Christian. Because that's not why I do it. I do it because I love him. And he's asked me not to. That's it. Not because it's some Christian standard. And that's the relationship that God wants to have with us. Why do you not do it? Because I love the Lord and I want to honor him. He's asked. But does it make sense? You know, I can't make sense of everything God wants, God asks. I just know this. He loves me. And he's asked. You know, kids who are disobedient will honor you to your face, but then sneak out the window at night and do what they want to do. Are you that kind of Christian? That you would acknowledge him at church, acknowledge him in your prayers, but then sneak out the window and just kind of do what you want to do? Or do you really say, look, these are the parameters, these are the restrictions, this is what he's asked me to do, and I honor him, I love him, I respect him, and so I'm going to abide by that. And I don't care what anyone else says. Are you willing to do that? See, that's the kind of relationship he wants with us. That we love him, that we put him first. Are you being conformed into the image of Christ so that others can see him in you, that he's at work? Love God first. It changes your heart, your outlook, your priorities, which naturally begins to translate into a love for others.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is always available in the iTunes Store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us. And please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.